You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to a Thursday night edition of Weekend Kickoff. My name is Andrew Spade. I am joined by my good buddy, Cody Sook. How are you, Cody?
Andrew, how you doing, buddy? Just cracking a Thursday night beverage. Got a little Great Lakes Christmas ale. You know, tis the season. Pick some of that.
I have the remnants of a Diet Coke from the taco place. So We're all enjoying a beverage.
Yeah, right. Nothing wrong with a little taco. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. You know, the tacos were the highlight, but I will also say that they had the the Mexican street corn, but like in bowl format, which was really good. The corn and the cotija cheese with a little bit of like the mayonnaise sauce and some spices.
All the food groups.
Yeah, it was the full food pyramid is what I received in a bowl. had a nice meal this afternoon, and very excited to be here with you to talk about Browns football. It has been, 2 weeks since we talked, because we took Thanksgiving off last week. And honestly, the bye week was not great timing, because they had beaten the Bengals, and it would have been fun to talk about the Browns coming off of that win. But that Thanksgiving week off was good timing for us, Cody, because last week would have been no fun to talk about losing to the Dolphins, losing to the Bills. They can't find a way to win a game. They're 3-7. The season's over. A week later, they've beaten the Buccaneers in overtime. Deshaun Watson's taking a snap for this team in like, 3 days now. There's enthusiasm, there's momentum. I'm convinced that the Browns are going to go 6-0 and make the playoffs. You're going to talk me down from that over the course of the show tonight. But that level of enthusiasm, when's the last time we felt this jacked up? Probably since they won on Thursday night against the Steelers, right?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. We haven't had a joyous type show. They're all fun, but we haven't had fun Browns type coverage for weeks. Where they lose five out of six games there for a while after that Bengals game. So it's a lot of things to be excited about. The Tampa Bay win, you have some confidence building in that. It was kind of an emotional win, I think, for the team. And I think for some of the players, I think maybe even some of the coaching staff, because getting off that schneid after you're so close in so many of these games, the Patriots game and the Bills game, whatever, flush those away. But the rest of those games where you're just a couple of plays away, the ball's not bouncing your way, you got bad luck just across the board, but things come together. You stay together as a team. You win as a team for the first time since the Bengals, probably only second time this season.
Yep.
The defense is picking it up the slack where the offense wasn't performing. The offense comes through with Njoku, huge catch. Brissett playing well. Cooper, PPJ, Chubb, the whole crew.
The whole game.
Played extremely well. And you can see
how even the special teams, right?
Even special teams, Even though, did York shank a kick in that game?
He shanked one into the left rough that I think he probably took a bogey or a unplayable on that one, because I think that was out. Think that was OOB.
That's OB for sure. Yeah. That looked like me. Yeah. Look at me at the RBR outing this summer. So,
just snapped it.
Just snapped a little step up left. It's all right. But he made another one. So it's all right. But it was great to see. Mm-hmm. And to see, like, for Jacoby especially to come in here, the guy knew what his role was. I got 11 games to kind of build myself for the future, to kind of hold this team together for 11 games until Watson was coming back. He accepted the role.
Right.
He flourished in that role, played as a top 10 quarterback. And you got to thank him for that, and you hope he gets paid somewhere to be the starter going forward. And then you hope Watson takes it even to the next level.
Right.
So we'll see. You could see that he's a guy that has a lot of respect in that room, lot of players, a lot of coaches. So kudos to him. Nice to see the Browns at 4-7. Really, not to keep rambling here, but really just one game off pace where they thought they should be.
Yep.
At the time that Watson came back, figure get to 5-6, you got a shot. 4-7, they still have a shot. It might not be the highest percentage chance of getting to where they want to be, but it's good to come out into a win with him coming onto the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake made fun of me on Sunday on the pregame because I sounded like I was eulogizing Jacoby Brissett, because it's like, oh my God, he deserves a win, and he's been everything for this team, and he's been, and it felt like, it felt like I was kind of saying that he was about to be shipped off to war or something. But no, I mean, I think it really is just as simple as I was thinking about this week, because I listened to Cleveland Browns Daily on Monday, And Joe, you know, they had Joe Thomas on, and they were saying all the same things that I had been saying on Sunday, which, you know, makes me feel good, first of all. But my point is that, you know, they're talking about what a good guy he is. I think it's really just what we're used to. You know, we have been used to Baker Mayfield, and like, he played some good football at times, but, you know, he was never a guy that was interested in bringing the whole locker room together. I mean, that much became obvious by the time he made his way out, but he was, let's be honest, a me first guy.
You've heard the exact opposite.
Right, exactly.
About Jacoby. It's all about, exactly, about the team. Right. Everything's Stefanski said it, his teammates have said it, and
right,
there weren't a lot of people speaking up for Baker when he left this team.
That's exactly right.
Team, you know what
That's
I mean?
Exactly right.
And I think you're kind of hearing the same things with Watson. I think you're hearing a lot right now about how good of a football player he is,
right,
how much of a leader he can be. Hopefully he gets to that level, or maybe even to another level that Jacoby was with the teammate. Everybody's about the team. Let's find a way to win. Let's be passionate. You know, I love when Jacoby would get a 4-yard gain on a QB sneak and, you know, get up all excited. So I think good things are coming for this team. And hopefully just keep performing. You know, the defense still worries you a little bit. But, you know, hopefully the offense can carry them and they can win some games here down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't have the ability to put comments up tonight because I'm on a laptop. But shout out to Super Surge MC. He pointed out Anthony Schwartz scored a touchdown on Sunday. So great point by him to say, like, everybody contributed, because Anthony Schwartz hasn't contributed since he's been drafted. And there he came up with one. And he also made the point that Jacoby was the adult that we deserved, just not the one that we needed, which, you know, he's got this emoji afterwards. And I think that's, now that I read that again, I'm like, do I actually agree with it?
The adult we need deserved, but just the, not, meaning the adult as in the quarterback we didn't need?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going at?
I guess, maybe. Or maybe he meant to say not just the one we needed, but the one we deserved. I'm not sure there, but you know what? Let's. He's saying we need Watson. I see. Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. And so let's talk about that now, Cody, because we talked a little bit about a big win on Sunday that has kind of changed the vibe, it sounds like. And you know, to go back to that Cleveland Browns Daily, they were talking on Monday about how the vibe in the building is different after that win. And I know that there had been some talk coming off of the bye week that the team felt, even after that loss to the Dolphins, that they just needed one of the next two to have a shot. And so, you know, I know what the math looks like to win the division because, you know, Baltimore right now has, what, a 3-game lead on them plus the tiebreaker? So,
right.
I mean, they're almost out of touch. And the Browns lose the tiebreaker with every wild card team you can list. Literally, if you list a team that might make the wild card, the Browns have lost to them. It's literally every one of them. So the path is not exactly clear, but I'll say this, and it sounds dumb. I'm willing to admit that this sounds dumb. I don't think that it has to be clear right now. They're 4-7.
Sure.
What they need is to string some wins together. You know, get through these next three games. Beat the Texans, get tuned up. Play a good game against Cincinnati. See if you can steal one there. Beat Baltimore at home. Get to 7-7, and now see what that path looks like, right? Then all of a sudden you're within touching distance of Baltimore. You're within hailing distance of perhaps a wild card spot because some of these other teams lose games they shouldn't, you know, lose. And all of a sudden now you just need three against three beatable opponents to get to the postseason.
It's definitely a situation where you take it week by week and you hope that you just keep building and building and building
exactly
as you go with each game. And Houston, okay, anybody can beat anybody in the NFL. I think this season has shown that across the board that anybody on a Sunday, if you don't show up, you're going to lose a game. If you're not doing your job individually, coaches aren't doing their team, the coaches aren't doing their job, they're going to lose a game. It's going to happen. With that said, the Browns should pounce and dominate a game on Sunday. We just saw the Dolphins do it last weekend. The Texans aren't even a match for this football team. Mm-hmm. Even with Jacoby, like I think you said it in Slack, even with Jacoby, the confidence should be pretty high going into this game.
Yes.
So you go into here, you win on Sunday, you get to 5-7, that's step one, and then you keep it going. And you got Cincy on the road, you got Baltimore too. I mean, it was divisional games. Everybody says it, it's cliche, but they count as two.
Exactly.
Even when you're behind in the division, they still count for two.
Right.
So you take it week by week and see where things shake out at the end of the season. But like you said, if you're sitting at 7-7 and you've gone won four in a row.
Right.
Okay, I know momentum isn't a data-backed type item. Momentum is a thing. Confidence is a thing. Figuring out how to win.
Right.
That's a thing, man. That's
and it's been a problem thing. For this team all season.
It's been a problem with just bad luck,
yep.
bad bounce of the ball. But, you know, good teams, they kind of find a way to get that ball to bounce their way. They kind of find a way to get those turnovers. We see Philly do it. Philly's turnover differential is astronomical.
Right.
So they keep creating those plays and not giving the ball away coupled together. So I don't think you're wrong in that. Let's say even if they don't make the playoffs, even if they make it like 8-9 or something.
Good point.
You've still gone, you know, 4-2.
Right.
To 5-2 to finish the season.
Right.
And that's a really good start to the next season.
Right.
So I'm just kind of taking it week by week, enjoy these games, and see what happens there. How does analogs quantify momentum? You can't.
Yeah.
There's no quantifiable.
And you know, look, we don't have Anthony Reinhart on here with us, so I can say this, and I doubt that he's watching because he's got a newborn. It isn't quantifiable, but that doesn't mean it's not real. Like
exactly.
And I know that that is a current and ongoing topic of debate amongst sports statisticians. But just because something is not quantifiable does not mean it is not real. Science has proven that a few times. So we don't need to get into all of that right here. But I do think that, you know, the point I'm making is that the team believes, and for this week, that's enough, right?
Yeah,
and so absolutely. If it's enough for this week, then that's a win. And if it's enough for next week and you go into Cincinnati and you get another win, that belief grows. And so that's all they have to do is it's, you know, it's the same mantra that Stefanski was leaning on when they were losing four in a row is every week is its own game. You just got to go out and win that one. So that's all they got to do is they got to go out and beat the Texans. And let's talk about that game a little bit.
Sure.
You mentioned it. They're, you know, by record and by most statistics, the worst team in the league. You know, until a few weeks ago, they were still competitive in a lot of these games. But the last few weeks, they have kind of had that vibe of a team that once that, you know, once something goes wrong, once the other team scores two touchdowns, they start to look a little bit hesitant. They don't seem to be giving it their all once things go against them. And so, you know, this is more than any other game so far this season, the game where you want to get out to a lead, play from ahead, and make, you know, it's kind of going to be Kyle Allen making his second start of the season. You want to make Kyle Allen play catch-up against the Browns defense, because that's a matchup you like the Browns to win.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
100%. If let's say they can jump out to that 14-0 league,
right,
and force if we look at the Texans right now, they have the 7th lowest neutral pass rates, early down neutral play types. They're throwing the ball the 7th lowest clip on those plays. So what you want to do, if you can get take Damian Pierce out of the game, take their running game out of the game, where they're pretty successful. He's playing extremely well.
Yep.
But if you can get that out of there, and then you come in, you make Kyle Allen throw the ball, and a guy that was pressured on 40% of his dropbacks last week, you take Myles Garrett, Clowney, and everybody, bring the pressure on him. that is a advantageous matchup for that Browns team 100% of the way. And once you get 14, and now you've got your quarterback back there, now, again, we're feeling ourselves. We can just keep this train rolling, keep the gas pedal down,
right,
and go and just run the score up. You know, right, not in an unsportsmanlike type way.
Right.
But you just keep scoring points against an inferior team. And I think if you look at the way that Pierce has run the ball, you know, he's top 10 in a lot of categories: rushing yards, forced missed tackles, explosive runs. But they run the ball a lot. So, like I said, take him out of the game, get to a big lead, and it's only going to work to the success of the offense and the team overall.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to ask you a question about running the score up, but I wanted to pump the brakes for a second because I flashed back to last year against the Texans, the home opener. They come off that close loss to the Chiefs, and they look like one of the best teams in the league, and we're all excited. And then they just, all game, the Texans hung around, and they ended up winning by double digits, if I remember correctly, but it never felt like they pulled away. They certainly never put the Texans away. And, you know, I just want to pump the brakes a little bit here enthusiasm-wise, because we still haven't seen that performance from, you know, on a consistent basis against inferior teams from the Browns under Kevin Stefanski, and really from the Browns for years. They haven't put, you know, lower ranked teams away. I mean, they played the Lions to almost a draw last year. There's examples of it across the years where they let a team hang around, and when you do that, you know, then things in the second half start to get tight. So I'm not sitting here saying that's what's going to happen, but you know, you certainly, like I said, you want to get that lead early so that the other team kind of stops, because if you don't and they hang around, then that's where things, especially with what probably will be a pretty vocal crowd in Houston, that's when things would start to get tense, right? That's the upset formula, is that the Texans are in it in the second half and able to continue to run that ball. And then everybody gets a little bit tense that they're not blowing them out. That feels like it could be, you know, I'm not going there. I'm not calling for an upset, but I'm just saying, you know, it feels like they should blow them out. The Dolphins just did it, and they rested Skylar Thompson, or they brought in Skylar Thompson in the third quarter. Tua was out in the third quarter. Do the Browns have that in them, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I think we've seen him jump out to big leads quite a few times against Cincy a couple times. We saw it in the Steelers wild card. We saw it in a couple of Chargers games where the team comes after that 14 or 17-point lead, and they just stall. And it happens too often. It's kind of like what Baltimore's doing this year. They get out to those big leagues and they lose these games after they're up two scores.
Right.
So you hope it's a situation where if they can jump out to that lead P.S., if they win the coin flip, I want to take the ball again, just like they did this week.
Oh, yeah. You know,
It's kind of, that's kind of counterproductive and counterintuitive to what you usually want to do, because you want to get the double up at the end of the half. But I would much rather than take the ball and go down and score 7 points and get that and then keep rolling with it. But yeah, what you said with putting the teams away, I don't know what it is with that. We've seen it 5, 6, 7, 8 times during the Stefanski era. And I know they kind of leaned on that ground game, but you kind of just want to keep that game plan going, whatever's working, and just keep going it, because as we saw against the Jets, up 14 points with a minute 52 or whatever it was, game's not over.
Wasn't enough.
Game's not over until we see zeros across that scoreboard.
Right.
So keep it going if you can get to that point. But back to your point again, you don't want to get to the point where you're almost riding the team off.
Right.
Like we said earlier, that's how you'll lose this game.
Right.
You don't take care of the football, you're going to lose the game. You know, you don't play defense, you blow your coverages, you're going to lose the game. So,
Kyle Allen can hit one. I mean, these are all NFL quarterbacks. If a guy's as open as Corey Davis was in week two against the Jets, if that happens again, Kyle Allen will hit him. That'll be a 70-yarder.
Yeah, we saw Joe Flacco look like Joe Montana out there. Exactly. So, you know, it can happen any week.
Kyle Allen might look like Kyle Trask. I don't know a good Kyle.
Kyle Busch, NASCAR driver.
Kyle Montana. Kyle Allen might look like Kyle Montana, Joe Montana's brother.
There we go. Joe Montana.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So, and Super Surge dropping a little bit more knowledge in chat. My buddy in Houston says that there's very little interest in the team because no one likes the front office owner right now, which is, I think that's true. I think the only wild card is, what does Deshaun Watson bring out of the fans? You know, does this revenge type angle play? Or, you know, I mean, if it was me in those shoes and I'm sitting at home and I have the chance to go to a game and spend X number of dollars, or I can just sit at home and watch, I'm probably not leaving the house just to boo Deshaun Watson. But, you know, I'm trying to think of the last Browns player that kind of walked out in such, you know, demanded a trade and left the team. I'm struggling to come up with an analogy here, but it doesn't feel like a situation where I would be super motivated if I was a Texans fan. They're 1-9 to schlep down to the stadium just to yell at Deshaun Watson. I don't know. What do you think?
Sure. And I don't think the reaction for him is going to be an isolated incident to only Houston.
You know, four Absolutely. Games, That's a great point.
Four of these six games are on the road.
Yep.
I think, what does he have? The Ravens and the
Saints
at home, the other four on the road. It's not going to be a welcome. You know, nobody's going to be throwing confetti into the air or doing any of that kind of stuff when you get. It's going to be a booze heavy on. And the only way you take them those booze out is if you come out and you perform and you quiet the crowd. You know, you perform, let your actions quiet the crowd, not your words quiet the crowd type thing. So I think it'll be raucous. I think it'll be like that early on in the game.
Yeah.
And they hopefully can quiet them down. But I think somebody mentioned that their attendance was way down anyway, which is expected for a team that's 1-9-1 and kind of 100% and not in a tank mode, but definitely in a rebuild mode.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, you know, the other thing that is a dynamic here is, and we've kind of talked around it a little bit, is if they are up big, you know, typically, you know, like the Dolphins last week, Tua's out in the third quarter. They pull him, they put in the backup because they want to keep Tua safe because they've got this playoff run that they're on. And he's kind of the key. We learned that earlier this year. He's the key to their offense. You know, those receivers are good, but Tua makes the whole thing work. It's different here because Deshaun Watson needs the reps. Yeah. So even if they're up 20 or 30 in the third quarter, you almost have to keep, you know, playing ball and maybe even throwing the ball because, you know, or at a minimum running some of your offense, almost like, you know, getting those preseason reps. So he just needs to be out there running the offense, right?
Yeah, something I was thinking about today when I was driving home from work was like, okay, so this is, I think it's 700 days exactly, right, in between regular season games. So his last game in Houston was January 3rd, 2021 to Sunday.
Yep.
But something that I thought about as well is like, he's not going from couch potato, you know, eating queso.
Right.
Queso and chips off the couch to all of a sudden thrown into a starting NFL quarterback role. You know what I mean? He's been training with Quincy Avery. He's been throwing to receivers. He's been working out. You know, he has the Browns playbook. You see, if anybody read the MKC article, you see that he, when we're going through the checks and identifiers, the coverage and indicators and all that kind of stuff from the Browns playbook. So I think he's been in there doing that. And I think Quincy even mentioned that he's probably better prepared now with the 11-game suspension versus the 6-game suspension, because he was able to focus on that playback more in a kind of an isolated environment. But again, with that said, not playing in a regular season game against NFL players at NFL game speeds, even though he's had a little preseason action, there's going to be some rust. I know people are out there saying like 400 yards, four touchdowns, he's going to come in and dominate. It's going to be rusty. He was rusty in that preseason game. He was definitely rusty in that game.
Yeah.
You want to come out and it's something you guys said in Slack that you know, I didn't really think of that I'm behind now is let it rip, man. Like, don't hold back. Even though he might make mistakes, he might throw three interceptions on Sunday.
Right.
Who the heck knows what's going to happen? Right. But run the offense, run the version of the offense you want it to be, you know, with RPOs, shotgun runs, whatever that may be, using his legs. And just let it rip and play some football and see where it takes you. And you hope it's not a situation where he goes zero touchdown to three interceptions and everybody's like, well, we got a Russell Wilson situation here, don't we?
Right.
You know, this $250 million. That's not going to happen. Not in a fancy offense. Not with what he got out of Baker Mayfield. You see how good this offense is and how well it's designed to kind of take the pressure off of a quarterback in a way.
Yep.
You know, and something I don't want to steal from your thunder, but it gave me a thought. Somebody said first play,
deep to Schwartz, fumble 13. Deep to Schwartz.
So I wanted to think, what would you want the first play to be on Sunday? And I'll tell you what mine is.
Oh, that's a great question. I would say, I mean, I appreciate the instinct to just go for the throat right off the jump. But I would say, I mean, realistically, what I think will happen, my prediction is that they'll run the ball.
Yeah.
Just to get his feet wet, get through the operation once. And it's, you know, they run the ball in first and 10 a lot. But if we're throwing the ball, I'm throwing a slant to Cooper.
Yeah. That's a good, like RPO slant or just a regular drop back?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, that's one of the big debates here. And I think, you know, like, I don't want to, let's shelve the RPO thing for a second. I'll say straight drop back, maybe out of shotgun, probably a shotgun. Let's run a shotgun slant to Cooper. Let's get him, let's motion to empty, get him one-on-one on the wide side of the field and hit Cooper for like an 8-yard slant.
I think you probably had the two most likely plays right there. You know? The only other one I would throw out was maybe a boot action. So you run a little boot action and you come out and you hit Njoku kind of against that cover two defense, maybe sit there in the middle. I can see that too. But motion to empty, spread them out, slant to Cooper. Yep. That sounds good too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's brought up two ideas that I want to discuss. Number one, you just said David Njoku. He's apparently now got a knee injury that's kept him out of practice 2 days in a row. Don't know where he picked it up. Maybe just because he jumped out of the freaking stadium to catch that ball on Sunday. You know, he may have lost all of his ligaments because of that jump. You know, we tend to think when we've talked about it in the offseason that having a quarterback like Watson mitigates the loss of some of your weapons, that you can kind of make plays out of structure and that doesn't really matter who the target is. But it would hurt to not have David Njoku for this first game in Houston.
No, absolutely. You know, you have a guy that has taken that huge step forward that we wanted to see for so long. You know, he's still a young guy. Don't get me wrong. He's still a very young football player, but he's finally taken that next step. And I think it's partly because of the quarterback play, which has probably been the best of his career. And I don't think, though, if that's necessarily exaggeration to say that through these 11 games with Njoku, outside of those small sample sizes that we saw with Baker throughout his tenure with the team. But with the way he can attack the ball at the high point, the way he's elusive after the catch, he doesn't seem like he is because he's such a big dude, but he's elusive after the catch. I think not having him out there is definitely tough. And if you look against Houston, I was just trying to pull something. My computer was going slow. Against tight ends, they haven't really been targeted that much this season. The tight ends have caught 48 receptions for 530 and 5 touchdowns against Houston this year. So nothing astronomical. Probably just hasn't been available or something like that, but that's something to watch too. Mm-hmm. But anytime you take one of your top three playmakers outside of the quarterback position off the field, somebody has to step up. You know, Harrison Bryant, he's all right. Yep. You know, Farrah Brown,
right?
He's all right. They're not Njoku, you know. Yep. So it's Thursday. He didn't practice today, you said. So if he didn't practice today, he's kind of trending in that direction of not being available, I would guess. We need somebody to step it up. Maybe it will be game breaker Anthony Schwartz there.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because you want, you know, you kind of want this to be a coming out party of sorts, right? Like, that's what would feel best as a Browns fan is, you know, you hang 40 or something on them and you're just, you know, by the third quarter, we're all, you know, cheersing each other. And then we're on to Cincinnati before the game's even finished. And, you know, and I'm watching a World Cup match. I've got two eyes on the World Cup and the Browns on the other screen because, you know, the game is in the bag, you know, so. That's what we want.
Usually it's the opposite, right?
Right, exactly.
Watching the other game because this game is so bad.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of what we want. But I want to go back to another thing you talked about, which is the RPO game. And I think this is an area that, you know, our colleague Jake Burns wrote a great article on the OBR that is, I think, mandatory reading for anybody that is a Browns fan at all, because it's the closest that you're going to get to a preview of what this is going to look like, right? Because he took some of the things that Watson does well from 2020, and then talked about the ways in which those could be incorporated into the Browns office and what they would look like with the Browns personnel. And you can see it, you know, some of those clips, you can picture David Njoku running on that, you know, that sort of underneath mesh type concept, you know, off of boot action, like you're talking about. You can imagine what it would look like for DPJ to be hitting that deep comeback on the sideline and Watson kind of rolling to his right and putting it right down there in the corner. You can see the players and the plays meshing. And so it becomes really exciting to, you know, you read that article and you're ready to run through a brick wall to see this on Sunday. So I highly recommend that reading. But as far as the run pass option, you know, Jake in our Slack mentioned that the Browns so far this season have run one, a solitary RPO so far this season. And it's, you know, part of it is that it's not really the strength of Jacoby's, but part of it also is that it's not really something that Kevin Stefanski has done. He didn't do it in Minnesota. Yeah. He didn't do it with Baker Mayfield, who had run them in Oklahoma, and he hasn't done them this year. So the open question is, how much do we see that on Sunday?
I think the only time we've seen the Browns run an RPO was in the Freddie Kitchens 2019 season. Is that right?
Right.
Would that be right? In 2019, they were running kind of, I don't know what the hell kind of offense they were running. They
had just jazz, baby. That was all jazz.
Whatever you could ever get out there. It worked for a little bit, a couple plays.
Yeah.
The last time we saw it. It was the exact same thing every time. It was an RPO. You hit Beckham on a slant every single time.
Yep.
Maybe 50% success.
Yeah.
But if you look at the data back, let's go back to what it was Houston in 2020. The Chiefs and the Texans ran RPOs the most that season. And Watson was number one drop back on RPOs. 439 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3/4 of his pass attempts when doing an RPO. But then you come to the Browns, and reading through those context clues that these guys have been saying this week, it's like they're hiding something, right? It's like the offense is going to be a little bit different because of X, Y, or Z, but they won't state what X, Y, or Z is. I'm guessing that's a big part of it. I don't think it's necessarily going to be pistol. I would think it's probably some RPO stuff in there. But, yeah, that's OG Philly, mentioned it in the comments. I don't think we'll see a ton of it. I can see maybe a handful of plays this week to kind of get their feet wet with that concept instead of hitting the ground running and just that being the focal point of the offense, even though it's his strength. But yeah, I think maybe a handful of plays because they haven't done it this season and see how it works and then kind of run the standard wide zone scheme that Jake said in his film room as well that he should be very successful in running as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? Because, you know, I think what OG's kind of hinting at there is that they might save some of that stuff that's more effective for the opponents the next 2 weeks when they get the Bengals and the Ravens. I mean, you know, they obviously have to win all of these games to have a shot at the playoffs. But you know, as you said before, those divisional games count double. So those are the games that they absolutely have to have. And that they'll need to pull every trick out of their bag to beat the Bengals. The Bengals are playing really well. They just beat a good Tennessee team in Tennessee. So next week will be a very stern test for the Browns. And, you know, the Bengals are going to want revenge for that Halloween ass-whooping that the Browns put on them. So, that's the game next week. But you also, I think, as people are saying in chat, and we've already said, you can't look past the Texans. So you definitely want to run your offense, do what you do best to get this win. And, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with putting some stuff on film to give the Bengals something to worry about. You know, I mean, there's the element of surprise, but there's also the element of which one of these things that we did well against Houston do you need to prepare for, right? And I think part of what makes Deshaun Watson so valuable, this is a point that Joe Thomas made this week. You know, he said, if you put Deshaun Watson in any offense in the NFL, he would be pretty successful because there's not a hole in his game. He's got the athleticism to run the ball. He's got the pocket passing ability to run a much more static offense. He can run it out of the gun. He can run an under center passing offense. So his versatility is maybe the Browns' greatest weapon because they are no longer pigeonholed by their quarterback talent. Last year, the last 2 years with Baker Mayfield, the Browns had to be a certain type of offense for that to work. It's the only way that Mayfield could be successful, even though he thought he could be an empty shotgun, run and gun quarterback. And then, you know, they tried to do that against Pittsburgh and he almost lost his life. This year, Jacoby Brissett could only be one type of quarterback for them. It was a pro style, run heavy, you know, protect up the play action shots and let him heave it downfield a few times a game. So the question now is Kevin Stefanski can kind of do whatever he wants. What does he want to do?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a quote I've used here before, and if you guys have ever seen the movie Blue Chips, highly recommend it if you haven't. But there's a quote he says before they get ready to play Indiana, and he says, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. I'll walk over there and give him my playbook right now because it's not going to matter because we're going to do what we do best, and we're going to be very successful at it no matter if they know it's coming or not. It's not going to matter. I think that's kind of what it is. Put it on tape. I don't care. You know, you put it on tape. It's out there. It's fine. Yeah, the Browns are going to run this, but they're still going to be successful and running that concept. So I'm not worried about that at all. And I think as you said it perfectly as well, that there's no more hamstring in the offense.
Right.
Jacoby ran it. It was kind of bland. You saw some of those wrinkles thrown in with the reverse to Schwartz. You saw some free flicker type stuff. You saw some reverse to Njoku, which worked extremely well, type things. But you're no longer hamstring. And good luck. I can't remember who it was. One of the players mentioned this week, but good luck. Might have been Betonio or Njoku. Good luck trying to stack the box now. I know if you're playing 12 or 13 personnel, that's just a matchup thing. But outside of that, good luck putting 8 defenders in the box when we got him back there. A guy that can do what Jalen Hurts does with his legs and with his arm, or what a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson, those type of guys that can run and throw just about equally as well. So it just opens up anything and everything you could ever want to do with an offense. Even if he's at 85 or 90% of what he used to be, he's still an upper tier quarterback.
All right. So I think that's, you put it really well. And we've really talked about Watson and this offense for a while now. So let me sum it up this way. Out of 10, 10 being the most, how excited are you for Sunday? And I see people fumble 13, just said, I'm looking forward to the weekend for the first time in weeks. I want to hear from everybody in the chat.
Yep.
1 to 10, how excited are you for Sunday?
I'd put it at a 9-2.
You know, 9-2. Okay.
I think it's pretty up there. I think a 10 was probably wild card weekend versus the Steelers. I was
right
at a 10
right
for that game.
Mm-hmm.
I was at about a 9-8 for the opener this year against the Panthers for obvious
yep
reasons. outside of that, most of the games this year have hovered between a 7 and an 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, there we go. There we go.
Yeah.
We got 1,000 from Scooter Thomas. That
yeah
boy.
Yeah.
Manable 10 plus, 9.5 for Eco OBR. Yeah, I think it's – everybody's rightfully so in what they're saying as well.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time to be a fan.
It's 9s and 10s. That's all I've seen.
It's 9s and 10s. You hope everything pays off as it should.
Right.
And what about you, man?
Well, I said it today in Slack. You know, Brad Stainbrook was sharing how excited he is. And I said, I'm all the way in. I'm right back to where I'm back to. This is the most excited I've been since the Chiefs game last year, the opener last year. I'm more excited than the opener this year because you knew that there was a ceiling on that. And there's no ceiling on this as far as I can tell. And I also said, I'm ready to be hurt again, right? If this goes south, if he comes out and plays poorly and the fans are all over him and it's a nightmare, it'll feel just as bad as when they came out in 2019 and laid an egg against the Titans in that first game and Greg Robinson got ejected for kicking some dude in the face. Like,
exactly.
We're going all the way back, right? Like, it's going to be just as bad as that if it's bad
there
on Sunday. Yeah.
I was, like, 14 rows up at, like, the 30-yard line. First drive was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Place is going crazy. I think Dernis Johnson scored the touchdown that drive.
That's right.
Came in for Nick Chubb. Higgins had a big catch. Everybody was like, that's one of the loudest I've ever heard that stadium. Was
yeah
after they scored the opening drive, everybody's like, yep.
We have arrived. We have arrived. We've got Freddie Kitchens. We've got
yep
Odell Beckham. We've got John Dorsey wearing a sweatshirt every day of the week. We are here.
Remember the text from my friends at work, Steelers fans, are like, the Browns are going to be your problem. We just didn't think it was going to be that type of problem. You know, but that was literally the text after they scored that opening drive. And they got AJ
yeah
Brown just
yeah
running out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doing
yeah
his thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, you hope
I still remember. You remember when they you were at the game, so maybe you didn't see this, but they showed Mike Vrabel on the sideline after he got Greg Robinson kicked out of the game, and
yeah
he did the umpire, you know, like he was ringing him up.
Yeah.
I still see that when I think about the Browns blowing a game that I'm excited about. I still see Mike Vrabel doing that in my mind's eye.
Talk about a coach that gets the most out of his players out of maybe anybody in the NFL.
He deserves a ton of respect, and I really hope that he goes and coaches Ohio State just so that I don't have to see him in the NFL anymore. That would be convenient for me as an NFL first guy. Get out of here. Go
team
go to Columbus.
Doesn't make any damn sense. They
right
win games.
I know.
Somehow.
Every year.
Every week.
Every year. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, look, I'm not above taking a little victory lap. I had them in my top 10 in the preseason power rankings. And then they came out and went 0-2. And I lost my nerve and dropped them all the way back down there. But I was right. They're the best team in the AFC South, and it's not even close.
Oh, for sure. Without a doubt. Even without a quarterback, you know, they were still winning football games.
Exactly.
Yeah. You hope for the Browns specific to this game. You hope it's
yeah
not like that because
right
let's say fans go completely south and completely opposite of what people expect.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to have NFL Network destroying
right
the Browns.
Yep.
Fans destroying the Browns.
Yep.
Fans of other teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody just
absolutely victory lapping constantly.
$250
yeah
$250 million on this guy and he came through the ball.
Right.
You know, so you hope it doesn't come to that.
Right.
Come out and do the thing, man.
Yeah, no, and I'm not yeah – like, you know, Red Leader said in chat, don't give me anxiety. That's not what I'm here to do. I wanted to talk more about the excitement piece and about how one of the things that – like, we're Browns fans, so we get how this works. One of the things about it is that you can still get excited despite knowing that that monster is out there. You know, there's the chance. There's the chance that it goes wrong. And I'm still going to be so freaking amped sitting on the couch at 12:59 as the CBS graphic rolls to intro us to Houston. And they've got the they've got their E crew, their fifth-tier crew, Spiro Dedis and Jay Feely doing this game. They're, you know, they've got it buried. It's visible in like the surrounding Houston area and Cleveland and nowhere else in the country. Yeah, they've got it in like 20 homes, you know, so that nobody knows that it's happening. And it doesn't matter. I will be just as excited as I was for every other big Browns game since I mean, what's the first one I remember? Vaguely remember the Elway games. So there's only one speed is my point. And we're going to do it again. I'm back to doing it again. And I didn't think, you know, when I came on to do the preseason or the pregame show last week against Tampa Bay, it was hard to get excited. It was hard to have excitement. It was hard to be, you know, optimistic. Brad Ward had to pick Jake and I up like four times during the pregame because it was like, I don't know, what are we doing? You know, and I said, well, next week, maybe we can get excited about Watson. And here we are. And I'm right with everybody in the chat. I'm at a 9, 9.5, you know, I think to your point, like there's a different level for the playoffs, whether it's the Guardians playoff game or the Cavs.
Yeah.
Pardon me. If it's the Browns wild card game against the Steelers, that Chiefs divisional game, that's where those tens live, right? Is where you know this is it, and it's national, and this is, you know, they don't get chances like this often. So that's that level. I mean, I still remember back the 0-2 game against the Steelers in the wild card round where they blew that big lead. But I was at a 10 for that one. I remember that very vividly, how excited I was for that. So anyway, my point here is that we're back. I'm back. I'll speak for myself. I'm back in the same old position that I'm in so many times with this team of believing that the things that we dream about, that this team is finally going to be able to do those things. And that it's, you know, we're going to see something on Sunday that we've never seen from this Browns team before. That's where I'm at.
I think that win last Sunday really, really helped. You know, it wasn't not because it was a win. It was the way who they beat and how they beat them in that fashion. You know, that it was halfway through the fourth quarter, and I was like, well, here we go. You know, it's over. The offense can't get the ball moving. And Joker makes a catch, you know, and then the defense steps up, and it was a very, very big-time win. And I want to say something that OG Philly said, my house is going to be spotless by 1 p.m. That's what I do on Sunday mornings as well. I try to get a little – go to the gym to kill some time, clean the house to kill some time. Next thing you know, it's 12:45. Yeah, you know, you crack your beer, you get your sandwich or your wings or whatever the heck you're going to eat, and you settle in for the game. But to touch on your point there, again, it's not exaggeration to say that he has a skill set that we've never seen on a Browns football team. That's not fan speak. That's not that is fact. That's objective. Yep. That his skill set is nothing like we've seen on the Browns team. Even I mean, Kozar and Sipe, they didn't have this type of talent, elusiveness. You know. Nope. It just never happened before, so we'll have to see how it turns out. And it goes back to, I think Jake said something about this week too, and it's something you see in this film room. It's like it only takes a split second of a couple highlights to see why they made the investment in the guy, given everything that surrounds him outside of football.
Yep,
you see why it was done, and you just hope it comes to where everything comes to a head and it just works out, and he's exactly what we thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, there were 13 teams interested, and you know, given the significant baggage that he's been carrying around for the past 2 years or whatever it's been, that, you know, that's not insignificant. That number of teams looked at the situation and said, "Yeah, that's all right. We'll give up, three first round picks and of a quarter of $1 billion for the right to play this guy every week because that's how good he is." And so. You know, I mean, all of that stuff is behind us. He has served his suspension. He has been reinstated by the league. He is eligible to play this Sunday, and he will. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the last that we have to hear about any of it. I know that's wishful thinking, but that's where I'm at with it. And so it just becomes a question of what he can do on the football field. And I think, you know, I it's up the thread, and I can't find it, but somebody said the talent doesn't go away, you know. And so you just got to believe that that talent is going to be on display as soon as this Sunday. And you know, to go back to the point that I've been making about, you know, as excited as the Tennessee Titans game in 2019 or, you know, that Chiefs game last year to start the season, in those games when the Browns got down, that's it. Because Baker Mayfield, for all of his strengths as a quarterback, the things that he could do well, he was never going to bring you back from a deficit in the fourth quarter. You know, this game this past week was the first time the Browns have erased a deficit of 7 points or more in the fourth quarter since 2014.
That was the Hoyer year, right? Was the Hoyer. They were 7-4.
The Hoyer Shanahan year, yeah.
And they lost their last four of the last five games or something.
Yeah.
And
was that season. They fell apart down the stretch, yeah. Yeah. They haven't overcome a touchdown deficit in the fourth quarter. We're not talking about like 20 points. We're talking 7 in 8 years.
Unbelievable.
So unbelievable. And you have to connect that to the quarterback.
Oh, it absolutely is. We've talked about it every single week. We say, okay, you got to keep close. You have to stay close, because if you force them into obvious passing situations without that quarterback that can make those plays, well, you're not going to make a comeback. You know, the team has always been – the success of the team has always been predicated on the success of the ground game.
Right.
Always. Ever since they had Nick Chubb.
Yep.
Now that shouldn't be the case, and it's not the case anymore, even with Jacoby, you know. But with Jacoby in there, we saw him, as much as I loved what he did at those end of those games, making those interceptions in the end zone or in the red zone, just not making the play. Mm-hmm. Even when they only needed 10 yards to get to a field goal attempt, they couldn't make those 10 yards.
Right, taking a critical sack at the wrong moment.
Exactly. And you hope it's to the point now where, okay, you fall back 10, it's not over yet. We can still make this explosive enough.
Yep.
We have the playmakers to be able to make those type of plays.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, we're at 45 minutes of show here, and I don't think either of us have taken a breath. So I think that's also a good indicator of where we're at excitement level for Sunday. And, you know, it occurs to me, I hadn't thought about this, but like, we really ought to get basically the entire team on the OBR on the show on Sunday for the pregame, because like, you know, this is the sort of excitement. Oh, thank you, Philly, for the subs. Thank you very much for gifting. We appreciate that. We're excited. And I'm glad that is coming through the screen to you at home. Just the level of anticipation for this. And so we're going to see. I'm going to try and see how many of you all on the OBR staff I can rope into the pregame. I want to see like a quad box situation where we're all shouting over each other to be heard out of just pure excitement and adrenaline. Not for the whole show, but for like 15 minutes, we're just going to do like a Thanksgiving dinner.
What's the show I'm thinking of? With celebrities?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, what is that called?
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do OBR Squares on Sunday. Yeah, okay. OBR Squares. All right, so we you know, we've kind of previewed the game, but really more we've just kind of shared and you know, somebody up thread said it's a good thing that we have this because we don't need therapy, and I think that's pretty much right. Like we're just guys getting excited about a football game, guys and girls. I don't mean to, you know, presume anything. So we're excited, and I'm glad that we could all kind of just revel in the excitement of this. It feels good to do. But I do want to play a special Deshaun Watson is back edition of Over Under, or Buying Selling. Yeah. I should say Buying Selling. So we'll play an edition of Buying Selling. And we're going to go from this game against Houston, and then we're going to zoom out to the whole six-game remainder of the season, right? So let's start with, are you buying Watson throwing for more than 300 yards on Sunday? Buying or selling?
Selling.
Selling.
I think it'll be in that 250 to 270 range, just because as much success as they can find with Chubb and Hunt, not so much Hunt anymore, but much success as they can find on the ground with Chubb getting his 100 to 120. I think asking for 300 is a little bit much, but I'm going to say between 250 and 270. So I'm going to sell that.
Okay. Red Leader with a subscription as well. Thank you very much. A gifted sub. We appreciate that. We are having fun. And I'm not seeing anybody in the comments buying or selling that. So, again, it's buying or selling Deshaun Watson over 300 yards. Philly is selling that because he thinks we're just going to run it down their throats. And that's fair. So let's do that then. Nick Chubb over – let's go – Nick Chubb's going to rush for more than 130 yards.
Oh, sell that too. I think it'll be right around 100
Cody.
To 110 mark. So if you get – let's say – Watson has 270, Chubb has 110, and Hunt has 30. That's 410 total yards.
Yeah.
It's a pretty successful day on offense. I think I'll put him around 110, even though the Texans, I think they're 25th in rush EPA allowed, 26th in rush success rate allowed, so not a great run defense. But I'm going to put him about 110 for the game.
All right. Yeah, we got a lot of people buying Chubb over 130.
Well, I'm an idiot. You know, so
I just think like, this is where I'm getting carried away, but it just feels like a game where on offense they should have 500 yards. I don't know.
Sam, what did see? Chopin has best game. What's his best game this season? Did he get to 130?
Oh, that's a good question. I will vamp while you look that up.
I'm on it.
You know, yeah, we expect Chubb will have a good, and it's a function of these lighter boxes, right? That's what we're all excited to see. So it's funny that as much as we're all excited to see Deshaun Watson, it's almost like you're seeing a different version of Nick Chubb as well, right? Because now he's running against a different sort of defense than he would have been running against last week against Tampa Bay.
So 134, 141. He's broken 100, 1, 4, 5, 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
So 141 is top?
That week one, he had 141 yards. And week five, he had 134.
Okay.
With almost 8 yards of carry. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he gashed the Chargers. I remember that.
Yep.
Okay. So we've done passing yardage. We've done rushing yardage. Let's talk about the Browns. Will score over 34 points, buying or selling?
These are right. These are close. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do 3 in a row. I'm going to sell.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to say they get to 33.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think it'll be 31. I have a feeling it's like a 31-19 type feel.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of high. I feel that game going.
Okay.
So I'll go 31. What do you think?
I would say that I feel like they can hit. I it's tough right now because I have to admit that I'm getting carried away, right? So, like, if I try and bring rational Andrew back in here for a moment, I think 30-ish sounds right. I agree with you. 31 would feel like a really solid start considering knocking the rust off and everything else. But, you know, my Viking soul, you know, that just wants to drink the blood of my enemies, you know, is like 45, you know, exactly 550 yards and 45 points. And, you know, like Houston is contracted as a franchise after the game because it's just like, well, why even come out here anymore? You know? So
sure.
Yeah.
Screw rational Andrew.
Exactly.
Screw rational Andrew.
Well, I finally pointed out earlier, we did a roundtable earlier this week where we predicted their record for the rest of the season. And I predicted 6-0. I did that mostly because nobody else was doing it, and I wanted to have somebody out there plant that flag. But I think it's very easy to make a case because, as I said to you earlier this week, which games are they not going to be favored in? If Watson is who we think he's going to be, which games are they not going to be favored in next week? Right. That's it.
I think that's the only one. I think they're right now at 3.5-point dogs. But if they come out and perform this week, it could go down to like a 2.5 type line.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do against Houston that would make them favorites against Cincinnati. That's not possible.
No, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. No,
they will be underdogs next week. But if they hang 30-something on Cincy and embarrass the Bengals defense in the process, they've got the Ravens at home. They've got the Saints at home. They're favored in both of those, I think. Even if it's a very short favorite against the Ravens. I think they're favored against the Commanders on the road, I think, right?
That's the only one I think that might be like a -1.
Just because of the home game dimension.
Because of the home game, because of their defense. So, you know, it's like -3, kind of you're losing 2, you know, if you're the home team. Not -3 is like the standard. So if you get to -1, you're kind of losing 2 there. I could see that being really close. But, your overall point is very valid. That if you look at it, it's probably only the Bengals as of right now that they wouldn't be favored in.
Yeah. Probably. And again, that's the assumption that Watson is the Watson that we saw in 2020, that he is ready to erupt, so to speak, against Houston this week and for the rest of the season. Ty Sox suggested 1, buying or selling. Let's buy or sell. Browns have 3 rushers over 40 yards in this game.
I got to sell it because 3 running backs or 3 players?
Oh, Ty Sox weigh in. Let's say three players.
3 players over 40.
Yeah, he confirms players. So that'd be Watson, players. Hunt, so and Chubb,
Watson,
right?
Watson, Hunt, and Chubb. Chubb's going over 40.
Yep. Hunt's probably going over 40 because they're gonna rotate him.
Let me see. Hunt has gone over 40 6 games this year. He actually hasn't eclipsed. He's only eclipsed 50 once, which is interesting.
Kareem, that whole situation bums me out, man.
I got to sell it, man. I got to sell it because I don't think Hunt is going to get that 40.
All right, okay. All right, so let's do this one then. The Browns will win another game this season, buying or selling?
Yes. We'll buy that one. How about let's do this? Buying or selling the Browns? Well, you've already said they're going to go 6-0.
Yeah.
How about for the chat? But buying or selling the Browns win 4 more games this year?
Yeah. Okay. Buying or selling that the Browns win 4 or more games? That's the question. Buying or selling? I'll buy that. Not just because I think they'll go 6-0, but I just don't see them losing to certainly not to the Texans. I don't see them losing to the Steelers, and I don't see them losing to the Saints. So there's 3 wins right there.
Yeah, those are the 3 I had. I had a 3-3 in the Anthony and I both had 3-3 as their record down the stretch.
Yep. Which, you know, frankly, I was disappointed to see, because that's crazy to me that they're going to lose 3 of these games.
I feel a little bit different today, so I'll buy it.
Oh, the excitement's getting to you?
Oh, yeah. But yes, ask me on Sunday at 12:57. I'm going to say they're going to go 6-0, you know.
They're going to somehow win 7 of their last 6 games.
It's 9 games. Take them all down. No, but 4-2 would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
4-2 would be awesome.
Okay, here's a statistical question from Scooter Damas. What is the percentage chance of them winning the last 6? That's a good question.
I don't have the exact figure, but I
can
say.
But just rough math. It feels like between like 5% and 10%, something like that.
I was gonna say 8% was gonna be my figure of winning all 6. I think it's highly unlikely. It's highly unlikely for any team to win 6 games.
Exactly.
In a row.
It's just hard. It's hard. The NFL is too.
Kansas City, Miami.
Yep.
Whoever you are, you're going to win a game you shouldn't, and you're going to lose a game you shouldn't.
Yep.
I think it's very difficult. I would put a 4-2 at probably 40% to 50%.
Right.
I think that's pretty realistic. But yeah, I think going 6-0, you're definitely in a single digit percentage wise. I think at least.
Right. And you know, and that's where their playoff odds lie. Their playoff odds are like just under 10%. So it kind of makes sense, right? Because they have really limited themselves to very few options to get out of this pickle that they've put themselves in. And it does, you know, like I think to your point a little bit ago, you know, I wrote this when I wrote my power rankings column this week. I said, you know, the NFL is more playoff focused than any other league in any sport anywhere in the world, right? NFL teams feel like if you don't make the playoffs, why did you even have a season? You know, and that's how the fans feel. That's how the media feels. If you don't make the playoffs, you have failed. There is no such thing. You know, the only exception I would say is a team that is rebuilding root and branch like the Giants this year. If they miss the playoffs, you can't say that their season was a failure. With Daniel Jones at quarterback and the amount of growth that they've had in that roster that has no talent, that's a successful season. You know, like the Browns in 2018, right? They didn't make the playoffs, but down the stretch they found their – at the time we thought they found their franchise quarterback – and everything was coming up roses, even though they had fired the head coach in the process. In some ways, that was part of the win, right? Was that they didn't make the playoffs, but Hugh Jackson was gone. So we'll take it, right?
I think that makes me think. I just started watching the end season Arizona Cardinals Hard Knocks last night. And Cliff Kingsbury said something in there similar on those lines. He said, you know, as a head coach, if you don't make the Super Bowl, you're the worst coach that's ever existed.
Right.
You know, so it's similar to that concept, but that's how the fans feel. That's how you probably feel as a coach, because you're no matter what the status of your team is, if you're not getting to the playoffs, you think that you failed that season, because that's what you're getting to.
Right.
It's getting to that level.
Right.
And I don't think even for this Browns team, failing to get to the playoffs this year with all the circumstantial stuff going on. But if you finish the 4-2, to me, that's a success. I would say that's a successful season.
Right.
If you go in and you finish 8-9, I think absolutely it's a successful season with all that's going on. I would paint that as a realistic option and as a realistic take.
Well, and I'll say this too. They are 2-1 in the division currently. They've beaten the Steelers and the Bengals, lost to the Ravens. If they can beat the Ravens and beat the Steelers, they have a winning record in the division with a win over every divisional opponent. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but that can't have happened many times since they've been back in 99. So even that is an accomplishment. To finish the AFC North with a winning record, you can say everything about the other missed opportunities in games against the Falcons and the Jets and the Chargers, and we know that story. That story is well documented. But that way to finish with a winning record in the division, and as you said, a winning record where they would be 5-2 over the last 7 games, with the quarterback looking good, you'd have to feel really good. Now, the downside is you've got 9 long months until you get to see them take the field again. And then to the point that I was making before, the excitement on the shores of Lake Erie for that kickoff in 2023 will be unlike anything that we've seen. even that Tennessee game or the Kansas City game or any of those others. To your point, Cody, I think you're absolutely right. 4-2, and I think really crucially, a winning record in the division. Get to 4-2 in the division as well. And I think that's a pretty meaningful accomplishment, because if you can repeat that next year and have, you know, sort of normal luck across the rest of your schedule, you're probably winning the division.
Yeah, you're probably sitting at 11-6, you know, right. and you won the division. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. And I think Scooter Thomas made a great point in chat. I just want to shout this out. Definitely difficult to do to win six, to go 6-0, but the schedule is not overly scary. And the thing is, their luck was so bad in the first part of the year. If that could reverse and they did get a few bounces, that's the way that it would happen, right? Because Watson helps, but you still need those bounces to go your way, even with an elite quarterback. So,
well, they'd be 6-5 right now if they had
exactly
a few bounces.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then now we're just talking about, can he get them to 3-3 or, you know, 4, if they can go 4-2, they're probably winning the division. Yeah. We could sit here all night. We could do an entire another hour on the missed opportunities of this season, but it's a bummer. And then we've been on a high all night, and I've really enjoyed previewing Sunday's game, but really just previewing what it's like to have a franchise quarterback. And so, excited to do it with you, Cody. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us in the chat. What a lively and lovely conversation with everybody. We really appreciate that every time we do this. We will be back Sunday for pregame at noon. And like I said, I'm gonna heckle everybody that I work with to see how many people we can get on the stream at once, just to share in a moment with everybody. So we want to share that with you on Sunday. I know that there's a lot of people in the broader NFL media landscape that are not excited for what's happening Sunday. And I don't care, frankly. I'm a Browns fan, and that's not changing. And so I'm excited to celebrate that with all of you Browns fans out there. And we will do that on Sunday for the pregame at noon. Join us for that. And then, of course, we'll break it down afterwards, no matter what happens, I promise. Until then, for Cody, for Ian behind the scenes, thank you all for joining us. My name is Andrew. And this has been Weekend Kickoff. Go Browns. We will see you on Sunday.
Go Browns.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sampfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.